Henry, hit the theme song. Welcome back to This Is Rocket Science, the official Columbia Space Initiative podcast. I'm one of your hosts, David Tibbetts.
And I'm Henry Manelski, the other host. Today we're going to be talking about space and science fiction. We have a script this time. We have words on a page that we're going to be sort of reading.
It's more like an outline than anything else.
Yeah, it's mostly just a bunch of links to Wikipedia pages, if we're being honest.
What's the itinerary for today, Henry?
So, well, we're going to just talk about whatever the audience wants to talk about, first and foremost. But we're going to talk about Interstellar. We're going to talk about The Martian, Star Wars. We're just going to talk about how realistic they are, how unrealistic they are, share some opinions. We have a question from the audience.
The books or the movies?
Oof.
The movies. The script says movies. The script says movies.
Yeah.
No one reads books.
We're engineers.
Movies.
Yeah.
Do I look like a humanities major to you? Nice try. Anyways, first on the list, of course, is the movie Interstellar. What year was that?
That was 2014. Yeah.
2014. Wow.
Yeah. Should we like recap what the movie's about?
They're on Earth and like they can't be on Earth anymore.
Yeah, they're on Earth. All the crops are failing.
Right.
And he's a farmer, I think, and all the crops are failing.
Was he a farmer?
Yeah.
He was a farmer.
Yeah.
Right. That's why he was using.
There was fields everywhere. Yeah.
And he is the guy.
And
he's got a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter's important.
Mm-hmm. The daughter's important, but basically, in order to sort of salvage the human species, they need to leave Earth. All the crops are failing and Earth is dying. And they go into a wormhole and they end up around a black hole and there's a few different planets there and they're trying to colonize them.
Oh, you're trying to see if they're even viable for colonization, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Because they made the initial mission that was then lost and then they went back to like rediscover what had happened to that mission and see if there was any potential planets that they could colonize.
It's very tense.
There's Matt Damon in this one, too.
Oh, Matt Damon.
He shows up like two-thirds of the way through the movie.
Then they go on like the one planet, but then like, you know, relativity exists. So like they're on there for like 2 hours, which is like 37 years or something. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, I mean, well, if we go back even further in the timeline of the movie, they go through a wormhole, which is sort of, I think what they call it, and they call wormholes this a lot in movies, Einstein-Rosen bridges, which is the technical scientific term for something that doesn't exist. Wormholes don't exist.
Can you break down what a wormhole is theoretically?
All right.
That's
what wormholes are. So Einstein said that space-time was a thing, like a fabric, that could be curved and is curved by things that have mass. The idea of a wormhole is, well, what if you took two pieces and just scrunched them close together? Or if space was curved enough, like you were just motioning, you could, you know, drill a hole basically and come out the other side.
It's like if you fold a piece of paper in half, take a pencil and stick it through the middle.
Yeah.
Shortcut. Yeah.
So we're limited by the speed of light in terms of travel, but if you could move space closer together, you could move at a speed much slower than the speed of light, but you could still
travel farther distance.
Yeah.
So you said that wormholes don't exist. Like, do you mean like just like do we have proof it doesn't exist naturally or?
There's no mechanism that we know of that could form them naturally.
So right now to us, it can't exist, but I mean, there might be something else.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe we'll find a way to make them.
So it's kind of like, it's like mathematically possible, but they're not even close to like...
Yeah, it's well explored in mathematics, in string theory in particular. And there are like quantum wormholes that do exist. There's such thing as quantum teleportation. It's actually sort of not even that interesting a concept in quantum mechanics. It's like for quantum physicists, it's like intuitive or something. But yeah, it's just a thing that happens. But yeah, electrons and other subatomic particles can teleport. And you could sort of think of it like a wormhole is being formed going from one place to another. And that is something that people exploit in movies and say like, oh, here's this massive wormhole that a ship can go through. But no, we're talking on the scales of like angstroms, like 10 to the minus 10 meters. Like there's simply no way it could form on a macroscopic scale. And it exists in math, and you could make a macroscopic one using negative energy, which doesn't exist. So,
yeah. What is negative energy?
It's just energy that's negative. Well, it's like it's like mass and energy are sort of two sides of the same thing, right? E equals mc squared. And they both bend space-time. But if it bent the other way, and you could think of all the different weird geometries that you could create. And
well, if you just had negative mass, you could do it.
Negative mass, yeah. They always say negative energy, but yeah.
When you say bend the other way, like I've had like relatively and all that stuff explained to me with like a bowling ball on a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
When you say like bend the other way, you mean like lifting the trampoline up? Or
yeah,
like
lifting the trampoline up.
All right.
But this is a very theoretical concept that only exists in the minds of some physicists and not, as far as we know, in actual space.
So basically, yeah, it went through the wormhole. That was like by Saturn or something in the movie, right?
Yeah, it was by Saturn.
Seven years.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't explain how the wormhole got there either. It's like alien, or no, it's us from the future
put
the wormhole
there.
That's
the ending.
Yeah,
it's like the ending. Why did it just like ruin?
Okay,
it's
well,
it's 2 years old.
It's 2 years old.
Should we have
it's
a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Holy
that about.
But also,
hey, watch your language. It's a
kids'
program.
Without spoiling anything, so there's the wormhole, which we just talked about. There's also the idea of general relativity, which we can get into. But also, the part that frustrated me the most, and I love this movie so much. I love Christopher Nolan. I love Hans Zimmer. Ooh, such a good song.
Cornfield
Chase is the name of the song in the soundtrack.
He got bullied
so
in high school.
Yeah. Well, they're in a cornfield in the movie. But
he did the music for Dark Knight and Superman, so if you're like,
he also did Blade Runner 2049 and like a bunch of other movies.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Hey, we can't talk about him anymore.
Oh. Oops.
There was a CinemaSins episode on YouTube where they go over Interstellar and they have Neil deGrasse Tyson narrating.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. But yeah, the thing that frustrated me the most was the ending, which I guess I won't spoil, even though most
just
people...
Just spoil it.
Let's just tell you, the last 10 minutes are just not... It's very, very fictional. It's very much like they go into the black hole, and we know nothing about what goes on past the event horizon, and they're like,
mm-hmm.
This is what happens in the event horizon, and it's just...
It's wacky.
Wasn't it supposed to be torn to shreds?
Yeah. So we've talked about black holes before, but basically... You go past the surface, air quotes surface, event horizon of the black hole, and you're not getting out. There's no way. The escape velocity is faster than the speed of light, and you can't go faster than light, so you can't get out. And one of the concepts that they talk about is, if you have a particular type of black hole, you can just skim it with a probe, and it'll like go in and get some data and come out. Not possible.
That's not a black hole.
Yeah, it's not a black hole. But also... As they go into the black hole, not only do they not get spaghettified, which would happen in real life, they sort of like enter this like fourth dimensional like space where they can communicate to the past and future through like moving books.
Oh, that's where the daughter's important,
because
the daughter
is
like super observant or something,
mm-hmm.
and like notices all the messages, like the hand on the clock like movement kind
of
weird.
We don't understand a lot about black holes. One of the key things that we don't understand is that. According to physics, all of the matter would sort of accrue at one point at the center, a point like geometrically a point, which would have infinite density,
mm-hmm.
Or like where else would the matter go, right? And some people have, what if there was a white hole? What if there's a region of space where all the matter that would go into the black hole would just come out?
So I saw this movie a while ago. I remember I think it was the first planet they visited.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of water or something that looked
like... I remember this.
Yeah, it was like a big wave,
and
too.
It was supposed to be super close to...
the black hole.
I think it was just a black hole, right?
No, it was the black hole.
Oh.
That's the one they're at.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they were really close to it. So the gravity would be, like, super strong there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, general? Because they were in, like, these robot suits, and I remember that, like, it makes sense with, like, oxygen and anything like that, but also... Like, something that close to a black hole and time being that warped, would that affect... Like,
I have done a problem set on that exact planet in Interstellar.
Okay.
Oh, I've done that too, actually. I forgot what I was doing it for.
Yeah, and basically, for a normal-sized black hole,
mm-hmm.
in order for you to get that pronounced a time effect, I forget what it was. It was like an hour is 7 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that. You need to be very, very close to the event horizon. Yeah. And if you were that close, you're right that you'd be either ripped apart or like, you'd be experiencing the gravity in a way that they weren't. But it is theoretically possible to be close enough to a black hole such that you wouldn't be spaghettified, but close enough that there would be a pronounced time dilation effect. Not 7 years to 1 hour, but...
Wait. In that, how would water be on the planet?
I don't.
Okay, that's just like...
Yeah.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
And then, like,
yeah,
the tsunami thing?
That was very cool. That was very cool. Black holes also... It's not like they suck in stuff. There's sort of a misconception that black holes, like... They don't suck. It's sort of, yeah, there's this idea that they're like vacuums. That's not really true. If you replaced the sun with a black hole about 3 kilometers in diameter, there would be no difference in the Earth's orbit whatsoever.
Yeah, okay.
It would be the same. It's not like it sucks in stuff.
It's
really
the same.
It's about distance.
So it's like mass matters more than like
density
or anything.
Mass
matters.
Mass matters.
Okay, another kind of topic to go with, like, the whole things that annoy me in space movies. One thing that has always bothered me, that happens in Prometheus, too, where the characters in the movie go to a new planet, and they'll be, like, they've never been here before. It's a new thing that showed up on their radar. Like, we've never seen this planet before. Let's go check it out. And so they go down there, they land their spacecraft, they walk out, they look around, it's like, oh, there's a jungle, and I see water. And they're like, this looks sort of similar to Earth, but why don't I just take my helmet off without even testing the air? They have no idea what this planet's what's going on, and they take their helmets off.
I think in Prometheus they did
do that,
yeah,
and
or they tested
annoying.
It before.
There was a lot of problems with Prometheus for me, but like the whole concept, this happens so often in space movies where they just land on a planet they know nothing about and then they take their helmets off. It's like you have no idea what the atmosphere is like, what the air is like, what bacteria or diseases are growing around. Just space movies, stop doing that.
I feel like there's like natural selection going on there.
Yeah, usually those characters end up dying later.
Another random question with Interstellar. So if I remember correctly, when the main guy and the crew left Earth and they headed towards Wormhole, it was like 7 years to get there since it was like near Saturn.
Yeah.
Something like that. They got put to sleep for that entire time. Is that something that's ever happened in space? Is a practical thing? And like, what happens to you? Like, what about your muscles or just like nutrition or anything?
It's a cryogenic.
Have you seen how much I nap here?
Next
question.
Okay.
It's
a little more than.
It's not something that's currently possible.
Okay.
You can't. There's no way that they could, like, doctors could put you to sleep for 7 years. That's not a thing.
It's like we can't even.
There's medically induced comas, but it's never
been
like
that
long.
Yeah, and then you can't get out of it in a way that's like, from what I know about medically induced comas, getting out of a 7 year medically induced coma would not be like, here you wake up and.
And would it be also like, would it even be reliable to get out of a coma after 7 years? Like,
yeah,
theoretically, if you could induce at one moment a 7 year coma, you wouldn't like have a reliable day you get out of it, would it? It could be, you know, a period of several months.
Yeah.
From your induction that you come out of it.
Wouldn't be practical.
The Alien series where one guy's accidentally woke up and they find him like 4 years, like 10 years later, he's just like the skeleton on the floor. They're like, guess
oof,
that one failed.
You guys ever see that Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence movie,
yeah,
Passengers?
Yeah, that happens, yeah.
The concept is they're on a big spaceship going to colonize a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be in like, you know, suspended for like 100 years or something. But like it gets hit by meteors, so just Chris Pratt's pod malfunctions and he wakes up like 80 years early. So he's like guaranteed to die, but he's so far from Earth it's like they can't help him. It's just game over. Oh, the opening scene of The Martian actually features something that's really cool. We just recently discovered that there's dust storms on the surface of Mars.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it killed the curiosity.
Yeah. Well, not curiosity. It killed opportunity.
Oh, opportunity.
Yeah. But it's also dust storms can actually save some rovers and kill them. Because dust sort of accrues on the how most of the rovers die is that a bunch of dust sort of layers on top of the solar panels and then they can't get power anymore.
Okay. That's
but
fair.
Sometimes dust storms can like blow away all the dust.
Oh, kind of like ship it away.
Yeah. But yeah, Opportunity died because of a dust storm. But basically, the opening scene of The Martian, there's this big dust storm, and because of this big dust storm, they have to get out, and they got to get off the planet immediately and just go back to Earth. And of course, Matt Damon, I don't know, trips and falls and then gets like impaled by something.
He scrapes his knee,
and then they have to leave without him, and then he's stuck
on
the planet.
Sucks.
Yeah, they think he died.
Big rip. They think he died, and then he, you know, lives. But the critique that I had about the opening scene is that it is true that there's massive seasonal dust storms on Mars that you can see from space, that you can see from Earth,
mm-hmm.
that people recorded even in like the 19th century. They were seeing this stuff on Mars through telescopes. The problem with the opening scene is that this dust storm rolls in, and then apparently it's so dangerous for them to stay that they have to get in a spaceship and leave.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that although the wind speeds of these dust storms can be very high, they can be like hurricanes on Earth,
yeah.
The atmosphere on Mars is 1/100th the atmospheric pressure on the Earth. So although speeds can be very high, the pressure is so low that you would not feel a force, or you'd feel very little force from wind. And from dust storms, they would not be a problem at all.
You said 1/100th of the air pressure?
About 1/100th, yeah. I mean, it's not...
Mars isn't 1/100th. Wait, why does Earth have so much more atmosphere than
we
Mars?
Have layer.
Not even that. It's actually our magnetic field that preserves the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The radiation from the sun actually knocks off a bunch of just gas particles out of our orbit.
Okay, that's fair.
And because we have our magnetic field...
Wait.
Produced by a liquid core. Then... We get to preserve our atmosphere.
And then,
so Mars used to have an atmosphere, or at least one would assume
mm-hmm.
so.
Does that have to do with like the core of the Earth? Or
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I never saw the Martian, so I don't know anything about it. But if we did colonize Mars, where would you do it on the planet? Because it's pretty extreme temperatures, right? With like limited amounts of, would you like go kind of like towards the equatory thing? Or like
I mean,
go to the icy poles?
No matter, yeah, you'd probably want to go to the icy poles because there's ice that you can melt and purify and drink, and also ice, hydrogen, oxygen, those are two of the most common rocket fuels, so that would be super convenient. But you're right that there's massive swings in temperature. There's kind of no way to avoid that because of the 1/100th pressure.
Yeah.
There's it's
and that's just
it's
like
sort of like in
the
desert
the
how there's
the
like there's slightly less atmosphere, less moisture to soak up the difference in pressure or difference in temperature, so there's massive swings. It can get up to like 60 degrees on the surface of Mars. There's actual recordings
Fahrenheit?
From probes Fahrenheit.
Okay.
There's recordings from probes of up to 90 degrees.
Okay.
So it could get hot. The problem is then at night it's like negative 200 degrees Fahrenheit.
You're telling 90s hot from someone from Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, if you were to colonize Mars, wherever you were at, you'd basically be stuck inside of your little colony ship
mm-hmm.
the entire time. You would never leave it. You couldn't.
And also there's
except
radiation.
For like, maybe like a brief moment, but even then you're still risking radiation. Like I said before, there is no magnetic field around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
All the sun's radiation is gonna pelt you.
Yeah, I mean it is 1.5 times the Earth's orbit, so they get slightly less radiation, but they have no atmosphere, so that, you know, means that there's so much more radiation on the surface.
Yeah,
also the habitats that they use. And the habitats that are usually represented on what like a fictional Mars colony, they're very unrealistic because it's basically like if you just visualize it, it's like they just blew up like I don't know.
Like a bubble.
Yeah.
Like a bubble habitat
oh, type thing where
that
it's
very
like
famously did not work, right?
Yeah. But the main problem is that there would be so much radiation that it would easily, you know, go through this tiny layer that they have, like millimeters. So what you would actually probably want to do is have a bubble,
mm-hmm.
but bury it with
Wait.
Dirt, like Martian soil, go underground. Yeah.
Wait, so going underground to avoid the sun, what about like the International Space Station? Or that's just orbits the Earth, so it's just always facing the Earth, and you don't have to like worry about that? They're like centering into the sun? Or
well,
like...
it's within like the Van Allen belts. It's within our
oh.
magnetic field. So
oh,
they're
so
largely protected.
Okay, that's
yeah.
fair.
For the most part.
One other thing you said about purifying water.
Mm-hmm.
What are you purifying, like,
well, water, the water on Mars, we found liquid running water on Mars. The problem is that it has like perchlorate salts in it that are essentially poison, like they're deadly. You can't drink that water. If you did some purification, I'm making stuff up, I'm not a chemistry person, but if they did some process and turned it into like pure water, then you could drink
something
it.
Like just that, like more or less available now.
Yeah. Put it through a Brita, yeah.
Star Wars!
So my favorite movie until like 2 years ago when I realized that this was apparently super dumb, my favorite movie was Episode 2.
Oh, I love the Jedi Battle.
The Battle
like,
of Geonosis was so amazing.
Oh, that's
amazing.
A cool thing.
I love
yeah.
the aliens
in But it really hasn't aged well in terms of CGI, so Empire is probably my favorite.
Empire is just
even
better.
Though it's, you know, there's no CGI. Nice. But yeah, but still, it's like a better like plot.
What about the new ones?
Rogue One is a masterpiece.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And I really like...
Or the Solo one.
I haven't seen that one.
I didn't even bother watching
it.
It was so bad.
Although,
okay, can we talk about real fast, Henry? We're doing some space stuff. What's up with the bomber design in Last Jedi?
Yeah, that was curious.
Like, why? Okay, they go so slow. They have, like, a gravity feed. Or they're just magnets. But, like, the Y-Wings exist already. Why don't you just use those?
Episode 8. It came out the day that I got into Columbia, so I was like super happy to see
no.
it.
Oh,
and,
I did watch that.
Yeah,
too. That was fun.
But it's just, I remember watching it, and opening scene happens, and it was hilarious. It's the one where what's his name? Where he's like he flies the X-wing, and there's that like hilarious confrontation between like the guy who's General Hux and Poe, and it's really funny. And I'm like, this is a great movie. And then they had the Princess Leia
incredible.
Scene.
Oh,
happened
yeah.
and I was like, this is so bad. Like I remember there was people were openly laughing at the Leia scene, which is when she
yeah,
oh my
no,
god when she gets
she's
blown
blasted out.
Out
into space because now space
oh,
has
yeah.
a vacuum.
Oh
like,
yeah, froze for
there
a bit.
So much
yeah,
floated
the
back.
That
yeah,
was so funny.
And
she's
and
like Superman back to the space.
And we knew she was gonna the character Leia was gonna die, right? Because the
she
actress
kinda had to.
Yeah. But I remember being shocked, like, oh my god. She died so early in the movie, like, what the heck? And they didn't even build it up. And then she just goes, like, reaches her hand out and then just flies back towards the ship.
Did
and
she
I remember,
have the Force all along? Was that
yeah, that's
thing?
The whole,
well,
like,
she's twins
Force
with Luke,
thing.
So she's supposed to. But they never actually
yeah.
developed that.
She was just, like,
mm-hmm.
closeted Jedi.
No, she was never a Jedi at all.
Yeah, she was not.
Hey, are you enjoying the show? If you want to get updates or see our memes, make sure to follow our Instagram account at ThisIsRocketScience. If you are really, really enjoying the show, leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. If you don't like the show, give it 5 stars anyways. This podcast was made possible by Audible. Audible is a leading provider of audiobooks. They have over 3 audiobooks to choose from. Visit www.audible.com and use code word ELON at checkout for a free audiobook.
Anyways, back to Star Wars. Can we talk about that one scene, like the middle of the movie, where like the commander or the captain who like who's been dissing the one pilot the entire time, like gets everyone off the ship and then goes into hyperspace and just like rams like the main Empire ship and like just
yeah.
destroys everything?
Mm-hmm.
She's a long neck.
Yes, long neck and pink hair.
The neck rings, right? Did she have neck rings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah, she had neck rings.
I think people were saying at the time that that sort of would open a logical loophole in Star Wars movies, because like, why would you not do that with every ship that you
or
have?
Or just get, you know, a robot.
Get a robot to do that. Just get a big mass.
Don't X-Wings go into hyperspace?
Yeah. Just ram every single one of them in.
Just get the battle droids in the prequels on an X-Wing. Boom. Or like the Death Star. Just like get that on the Millennium Falcon and go kapow. Like why wouldn't
also,
you do
there's
that?
Just a few really weird moments that I remember watching it in theaters. Like there was that one when they end up on the salt planet. Like,
dude, salt planet was dope.
It was really cool. But there was
it wasn't salt, it was a different mineral.
No, it was salt. I know it was salt because there was one scene right at the beginning
no,
where the guy literally
the
like
is
the surface
in
yes,
a salty
yes.
material.
Yeah.
But the inside of the red stuff.
Nice save.
That's not halite. You can tell me that's halite.
All I'm saying is it's a really weird scene right
it's
at the
wacky.
Beginning of the defense
it's
where
wacky.
There's a random soldier who we haven't been introduced to just like picks up some salt from the ground and licks it and goes, salt.
So you know the sounds that TIE fighters have? It's really cool. It's like a slowed down elephant cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no sound in space. What's up with
that? Yeah, that's not a thing. Yeah, sound is not a thing in space.
What about the explosions?
No.
Wait,
very
what would
no.
happen? Like, you
they
shoot a star with, like, mini laser beams.
Okay,
or whatever
laser
happens.
Beams.
Like, the... like, it's like the glow stick bullets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you shoot it. What, like... If it doesn't explode like it does, like I'm thinking like the early movies, what actually happens?
I mean, so the main thing that I would think that would happen, like if you shot something at a spacecraft,
yes,
I could, there wouldn't be an explosion, right?
Because
you need oxygen for that. But presumably it would go through, like puncture a hole, say if it did that,
mm-hmm.
and then all of the air that's inside would
that
just
would
be sucked out.
Yeah.
First and foremost,
it's just force that's just pushing things apart. There's not going to be like a fireball.
Wait, so if you wore a suit in one of those, the only way to kill the person is if you actually shot the person directly.
What?
If you say like you shoot the, I almost said boat, flying boat, spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot that, and you said the air would like shoot out of it because pressures and all of that.
Yeah.
But if you were wearing a suit and just like harnessed into it, the seat. Would anything happen to you unless if you were like directly shot?
No, no. I mean,
you would just be stuck
there
just
it's a very large pressure difference, so there would be a very large force that'd be sucking you up. But if you're securely harnessed and you're wearing a spacesuit, no, nothing's gonna happen. I mean,
you just hope you win so someone would collect you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your spaceship, your lifeboat basically is destroyed, but you'd still be alive for a while.
Ooh, lightsabers. What about, like, the handle? That's made out of metal. Would that, like, heat up?
Presumably. Yeah, also, how would it, like...
Lightsabers, I don't
contained.
Even know what lightsabers are. Like, as a kid, you think, like, you project the force or something, but it's, like, kyber crystals? I don't know.
There's kyber crystals, yeah.
What, good or bad? Well, it's, like, a laser thing, right?
Plasma or whatever, I guess.
I'm just wondering, like, how do you, like, shorten it to only be, like...
Yeah, you
a
can't. Yeah, I don't know.
So there's just like.
There's yeah no. We can't make lightsabers. That's not a thing that we can.
It
make.
It doesn't exist. It's red if you're evil, blue if you're new, green if you're experienced, and purple if you are Samuel Jackson.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was his one condition.
No, for real. That seriously.
Because he knew that there was that one big battle scene in Geonosis, mm-hmm. and he was like, "I want to stand out, so give me a purple lightsaber."
This is just me thinking out loud, yes. But like in Star Wars, like it's almost like planets going against each other in some way, like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, might be more of a Micah question, but like if you're colonizing multiple planets within like a galaxy or whatever, like we kind of war a lot on this one planet. Like what within space travel and getting bigger like that, would that just cease and more like become unified within planets and then just like do that between others?
I mean, that's a very interesting question. There's a TV show that I put on the list of things that we should talk about. That probably no one has seen, but I'm
nice,
super into
transition.
It. That probably no one but me has seen. It's called The Expanse, and it sort of deals with this issue in more like realistic terms than Star Wars would. Basically, Mars and Earth have been colonized, and we've colonized some of the asteroid belt in the outer solar system.
Okay.
And you have this whole issue of there's a time delay between Mars and Earth, and Mars begins as an Earth colony, but then, of course... The Martians are like, we don't want to serve you anymore at a certain point.
I'm thinking
point.
Like Revolutionary America. War stuff.
Yeah. And it brings up like an interesting dynamic because now when we think about war and we think about how unthinkable war is, it's mostly because it's like there's instant communication and nukes can travel very quickly in ICBMs. Once you go into space, I mean, at light speed, it takes 20 minutes on average to go from Mars to the Earth. So it's like you can start thinking of like war strategies again because there's like a delay in communication and it would sort of put us back in time in terms of how we thought about war, but there would still be nukes.
So we went through everything, Interstellar, The Martian, Star Wars.
Is there any other science fiction?
The alien movies.
I haven't seen the alien movies.
You haven't seen the alien movies?
No.
The age-old phrase, you haven't seen this?
Wait, but there is Arrival. Have you seen Arrival?
Oh, Arrival slapped, dude.
Arrival has a really good soundtrack, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a translation. Oh, I was just going to say something that relates to translation. Star Wars, like, there's a bunch of different animals. And
they sort of have one language, though.
Yeah,
it's on Google Translate.
It's like D&D. There's always, like, the common language,
yeah.
And there's the thing that brings the others.
Actually, That reminded me of something in Doctor Who, where it's like once you travel in the TARDIS, like you just get like this automatic translator thing in your mind. Is that like with technology how it's working?
Devices.
Is this like at all feasible to like?
They're sort of doing that. Google is designing some sort of headphone things that would automatically translate languages.
Yeah, but you hear they're also designing glasses.
Yeah.
Where did that go?
Google Translate's great. You can take a picture of something and it'll scan the words. Like, I've
That's
translated
good.
Japanese and Chinese. Super
it just doesn't
picture.
Translate it well, though.
It's not great.
Yeah,
it's
pretty bad.
I think it'd also be more like the... You know, C-3PO is basically just a translation droid?
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be more like just a dedicated thing just towards that. Like some sort of AI that's focused on that. As opposed to a device that does it right in your head or something.
Okay, I'm going to patent this idea, having a translator device robot like you talked about, but it's
I think
a parrot that sits on your shoulder.
Ooh, I have a science question. So we get to the point where we're like colonizing other planets and maybe like a whole galaxy like Star Wars land.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Or like the Star Wars, that probably wasn't the right way to say it. But, would like evolution almost become like obsolete by that point that we're just so good adapting to other places that it wouldn't necessarily like survival of the fittest, it wouldn't almost like apply to humans anymore?
Well, I feel like it already doesn't.
It really doesn't. All our evolution is
the
technology.
Just, like, outsmart
it. But I feel like evolution would be even more pronounced actually if we started colonizing stuff because we're so far apart.
Mm-hmm.
That like the whole reason that there's evolutionary differences is because there's certain groups of humans, or not humans, there's certain groups of animals that are like only reproducing among themselves, and there's a split. Like the classic is like in the Galapagos, that one bird or whatever, how like on each of the different islands they're geographically isolated, they can't reproduce, slowly differences in them begin to arise, and then they're a whole new species. I feel like similar things would happen in the real world if we try to colonize a whole galaxy, because there's light years difference.
Well, you can look at that like and just like human phenotypical differences based off of regions that exists, although it is disappearing with transportation.
Mm-hmm. but imagine how more pronounced
space
it would become.
Space would be
light
enormously pronounced.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have the
I
same
would say that
of...
we could probably you know different species after a certain point. All right.
Anyways,
we had a good discussion.
Great discussion. We talked about Interstellar for like half an hour.
Yeah.
We kind of just complained about Star Wars.
This was a good episode. Hope you enjoyed it.
This is Rocket Science's The Columbia Space Initiative podcast, produced by Henry Minowski and David Tibbetts. Executive producer Millen Anand. Creative director Elise Palma. PR director Anthony Edessa. Audio is mixed by Michael Weiss, edited by Keith Steiner. That's all, folks.